This is NIDS AFL Unpopular Opinions with Alistair Lynch, Tom Rockliffe and Dylan Leach.
The bye rounds are all done and dusted. We're back to a full slate of matches, but everyone's getting a bit stir crazy. It must be winter time. Hello and welcome to NIDS AFL Unpopular Opinions. My name is Dylan Leach, the round 16 edition, if you don't mind. Round 16, has it come around that quickly? Joining me this week is 1989 Mark of the Year winner, Alistair Lynch. Alistair, welcome.
Thank you.
Now,
Dylan,
you
it
won.
Been a long time. When were you born?
1989, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Swift, myself, born the same year. But when you won it,
yep.
You won a Holden Jackaroo.
Did, yeah.
Fine car.
Magnificent vehicle.
But I wanted to ask you this week, Lynchy. They announced the new prize for Mark of the Year, and it's pretty damn good. The Virgin Australia Mark of the Year now, and the Mark of the Year in both AFL and AFLW will win 50K and 2 million frequent flyer points, enough for two people to redeem business class reward seats to over 500 destinations around the world. Now, I'm putting this to you, Lynchy. Should these prizes be backdated? Are you feeling a little cheated?
No, I was right. I mean, I remember the one of our guests on the show, the great Sandy Roberts, presented me with the Mark of the Year, the Holden Jackaroo at the Seven Studios in South Melbourne.
Yep.
It was huge. And it wasn't that long after that where it sort of dropped off and went down to a box of chips or a pie or something like that.
Yes, but, pie, Weet-Bix.
Yeah. But no, I was very lucky. So I wouldn't be swapping, albeit that is an outstanding prize.
Finally a decent prize for Mark of the Year.
Yeah, and we've got to encourage people just to have a go at a big hang.
Well, now that they know they've got that, that's going to get more players up and about to take a mark. Because, of course, Nick Nat knew he's still furious he got Weet-Bix and Sampy got a car.
So. Oh, yeah. And we've got to be careful with the umpires. We don't want to put more pressure on the umpires. But there is no such thing as a, what do they say, unrealistic attempt.
No.
The only way you're going to take Mark of the Year, it's going to be unrealistic. Well, just saddle up and jump on.
Tony Modra did once say, Daz told me once, that he did say to Mick Martin when he took a hanger, he's like, I owe you a beer because I've just won a Mitsubishi Wagner. So they just know. You just know when you've taken it. So
he would have won about four cars, Mods.
Mods.
Have they clarified? So who is going to pick the Mark of the Year winner?
I think it's half the punters and then half the
high
judges.
High risk. Yeah. Well, let's go. If GWS, a player there, takes a massive grab against
Collingwood,
Bobby Hill,
and
Bobby Hill
won it,
takes
or Jamie Elliott
a massive mark.
Yeah,
where's the votes going?
It's going to Collingwood.
The five people at GWS are going to vote for their player, and
maybe
the rest of the country is going
maybe
to
if
go
this
Bobby
happens,
Hill.
Maybe this happens. It's our job at the podcast to start campaigning for the other non-Collingwood player to win Mark of the Year. So this is where democracy comes into it.
Think
about that.
Just all Australian
now,
selectors.
I'll do a quick intro to this man. He built the foundations of this place, but we need to crack. We need to get his opinion straight away.
I think there might be termites in the foundations at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of people have been pressing the 30 skip button. It's like they're talking about Mark of the Year. When are they going to get to Rocky's hot take? Hello, Tom Rockliffe.
Dill.
It was a controversial Tom Rockliffe Cup. We're going to put you on the losing side because for the benefit of this podcast.
And humour. You're a Port Adelaide player now.
He built the foundations of Port Adelaide. I am a Port Adelaide legend and I built the foundations of this place.
Forget the fact you were a captain of the Brisbane Lions.
Actually went in the game
150 games.
I couldn't lose on the weekend and I think I came out a bit of a loser.
Were you on the M's?
Yeah,
for the game.
In Adelaide. If it was up here, they should have flown me down.
Should have.
No. Like the Barbie movie, has Port Adelaide had Kenuff? What's going on?
Oh, I don't think they've had. Well, the supporters certainly. It feels like the momentum's building post game, but there's always been that there, and there's going to be the pressure on when you've been there for 12 years, haven't been to that grand final. Longest serving coach that hasn't been there, been a kick away a couple of times. I think he's done an outstanding job, but the pressure's certainly on. I'm not inside the four walls. Not many of us are. They've sort of almost come out and said they probably feel like they don't have the list to get them to where they want to get to.
Which is different to 4 months ago.
But that's the thing. They have on-traded draft picks, so they don't have strong hands at the draft in the next couple of years. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the players that they bought in, they weren't as good as they thought. Zirk Thatcher, we've seen him subbed out a couple of times. He got subbed out at halftime. Radigalia's probably hasn't had the impact. Alir is Impact's dropped away from his All-Australian. So, look, they've got issues there. I don't think anyone's denying that. They're still in the top eight. But again, the faithful are going to be jumping up and down. I'm glad I'm not in Adelaide. They would be jumping up, like the pressure that was on the Adelaide Crows last week, the pressure that's going to be on Port Adelaide this week, it's just going to be intense. It's not a nice place to be when you're not going well. I think my first year there, we were about 10-3 flag favourites, I think, and then we fell in a hole, missed finals, and they come from everywhere. I'd imagine now that Port Adelaide are in the same boat. They expected to be top four, and they were borderline top four, but they got to lose by 80 points to an underperforming Brisbane Lions on your home deck on such a big occasion to celebrate the 20-year reunion. Yeah, it's not a performance that the footy club as a whole would be proud of, the playing group, all the coaching staff, and I feel for Kenny. What he's going through at the moment, there's no doubt that he doesn't go out at the best of times, let alone when they're struggling. So all you can do is wish him the best. And I don't think they'll make a call on him until the end of the season. But I don't know if he survives. If they don't make finals, I don't think he can. I think he'll be in a bit of strife.
He would be in a bit of strife. I'd be really disappointed if they caved in and moved him on over the next couple of weeks. But, I mean, the whole issue, as you just touched on, was compounded that it was the 20th celebrations of that great premiership team that were all there at the guard of honour for the team as they run out and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, the only reason, only way you'd like to be in Adelaide this week if you're a radio host and got a talkback show, there's content flowing in.
If you're the producer of 5AA right now, your show is literally just open the phones and away you go. You don't need to worry about much content.
But it is tough to see, and Kenny being an ex-teammate of mine, he's been a really good coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Fagan touched on that. I mean, there's been the issues around finals, but he's been a very good coach for a long period of time. And, to see that sort of crowd turn on him, that is difficult for him and his family, no doubt.
And that goes at 60%, which is a pretty good strike rate. When you think about when he came into a club that was bottom dwellers, Wooden Spoon, and how quickly he turned it around.
And had the tarps across the...
Yeah, tarps, and they've got people there, so... Mm. Hopefully, whatever happens in this short term, that Port Adelaide can look back when Ken's time's over and see how successful it was. Yes, they didn't get the premiership that they wanted and chased, and I don't think they're going to get it this year.
No.
But you have to respect what he's done for that footy club.
No, he's been great for the footy club, absolutely.
I think when it gets to the stage where you lose the fan base, there's having the full support of the board, which is always means you're gone. There's, we know where we're at. It's all the usual language, but when the fans start to turn on a coach at a game, that's never great. It's a great test for a club. And I, having been in enough situations, I've seen situations before with coaches in the past at my own club. I mean, thank God you didn't have an incident where someone spat on a coach, which what happened with Danny Frawley, and that's I was mortified when that happened.
And there wasn't it sheep shit?
Yeah,
chicken shit dropped at punt right.
I reckon there might be worse coming at Alberton. Adelaide appears to be a place where I don't know why anyone would want to coach in Adelaide. If you're not successful, it is probably one of the worst environments you can go and coach into.
It'd be the best and the worst. What a place to thrive and get... I mean, it's such a footy town. Yeah. It's probably the footy town of the country, really.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So passionate with two passionate supporter bases. Love everything about Adelaide, but yeah, just this moment would be extremely tough.
It's like when it's great, but when it's bad, it is real bad. And I mean, good example could be I've heard your former coach Robert Shaw talk about his experience.
Bring up the same name
as Crows coach.
Yep.
I've heard Gary Ayres talk about his experience as Crows coach. I think it's a bit different for Port Adelaide because Kenny's sort of like the first outsider that's coached Port Adelaide. Because obviously Mark Williams, John Cale, Matthew Primus, they're from Port. They're Port people, traditionally. Port Adelaide fans have been given this idea and concept of what Port Adelaide is?
They've got to get that out of their head. For me, Kane Corns touched on that on Sunday and spoke really well about it. They're not in the sample anymore. It's not, you're not going to win a flag every second year. It's impossible. Mm. It is actually impossible to do that. They need to move on in their mindset, which is really hard to do because they were so successful. They're not going to, like, it's the competition set up. You win one every 18 years. Mm-hmm. That's the way it, give or take. Well, but they've got to accept that they're not going to win one every second year.
That's also for the club to do, and that's for the club to speak to their fans about, because what I see from Port Adelaide, and this is why you may see fans get impatient and treat someone like Ken Hinckley like that, is because for the past few years we've had Port get up and about, we exist to win premierships, we win premierships, we're this set. Well, Port Adelaide has won as many premierships in the AFL as St Kilda.
Yeah, St Kilda's history is, well, St Kilda's never won one
Port
in the
needs,
AFL.
But Port
St
needs,
Kilda's never won
I
one.
I get
in
that,
AFL, because you're saying that's a VFL. What? That's, I don't agree with that, because you need to sell hope. And Richmond did that and went on and were good enough to win three. I think every club comes out with a plan and says, we want to be great, we want to win X amount of flags. That's what Port Adelaide did. They're not going to achieve it, but I don't agree with that the club needs to sell the message that they want to be successful.
Of course they do, but it's how do you...
Richmond did.
Yes, but how does Port Adelaide go, this is where we're at, for a club that has been like, we win premierships, we are this... isn't that the motto at Port Adelaide? We exist to win premierships? Yes, we do. How do we win that premiership now? How do we get there? What do we need to do? What's the building blocks to make Port Adelaide?
They did that and they released that, and they're not going to achieve what they set out to do, but I think it was ambitious, and you want your club to set it up to be successful. Everyone's in it to be in a position to try and win it. Mm-hmm. I think you forget that Port were in prelims and a kick away in 20 and 21. Two prelims in only a couple of years ago. Yeah. So, like, to say they've only won the same as St Kilda was a VFL premiership. So
yeah, that might be drawing a long bow. What I'm trying to say, though, Tom, is for a Port Adelaide fan, they've grown up with the mantra that the Port Adelaide Football Club, and this is very... I think we actually do agree, because it's actually pretty...
Yeah, no.
I think they've grown up with this mantra that Port Adelaide is this premiership-winning machine. Port Adelaide wins premierships all the time.
Which it was.
They haven't won a Sandful flag for this century.
It's impossible to win a Sandful flag because you need to go into the history of it. I'm aware that we'd
have to do a different podcast.
The umpires, the free kick count for the Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide, they're like minus 800 compared to other teams.
Yeah, we'll have to do a different podcast about the conspiracy.
That's why they want to get out of the Sandful and play.
But what I'm saying is that it's also time for the fans to realise where Port Adelaide, what it takes to win AFL premierships.
Yeah.
Of course, embrace that. I'm not saying ignore that history.
It's
time for Port Adelaide
the
to
that you want your club
grow
to sell
into
is,
a new because
yeah,
the
I agree
next
with that.
The next coach of Port Adelaide. And there will be. I'd be putting money on that Ken will probably see out the year, and there'll probably be someone else.
Well, it was reported that it was a handshake agreement with Josh Carr to take over. That's why he pulled out of potentially the Richmond job, was it?
Maybe.
Well, Cornsey's really strong on that. It's an agreement that he takes over.
So if Josh Carr takes the position next year, he may have to say, you need to come with me on a new journey, fresh start kind of thing. It's like Port Adelaide needs to build. This is where we're at. Whereas Ken has been, we have been making finals. We're getting impatient. When is it going to happen? When's it our turn? We've seen Richmond do it. We've seen Melbourne do it. We've seen Geelong always up there. Why aren't we there? You know, we're Port Adelaide. We're meant to be this club that dominates. We're not. So
yeah.
It's time for Port to adapt.
To mature and come
it's
out.
It's time for Port to mature. And this version of Port Adelaide is only 25 years into its AFL history. So it's time for Port to adapt and Port to realise, okay, we've tried this way, now it's time to not get in a cycle where we're just finishing eighth or just making it. It's about...
Yeah, and
so I think you and I actually agree.
No,
I
do.
No,
it's just I think the messaging still's got to be the same. They exist to win premierships. Your club exists to play premierships. That's why you play AFL footy.
But that's where the impatience from the fans comes from.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you've got to aspire to win a grand final. So I think the messaging will continue to be the same. Mm. Whether they've got the cattle there, they've certainly on-traded a lot of picks to bring in the cattle that they've got. is that midfield group as good as they think it is? I think it still is. I think there's a fair few knockers on it.
It's just
Rosie,
off the boil at the moment, isn't
which
it?
Happens.
And it's young.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They are young. It's a young midfield.
Did Port go too much in for getting like a Horn Francis to the team?
I don't think a Horn Francis, because I think he's still going to be a really potentially
a
Brownlow medalist, and he can impact the scoreboard in the front half. Maybe they spent two overs. We need more information on getting second rate players, Radaglia, who was sort of in and out.
He's in and out of
Geelong. That's in and out. That Zerk Thatcher was there about. Like, so maybe they've overspent. Even a Willy Rioli, for instance, his impacts up and down. Finlayson the same. It's sort of he was in and out of joint. So maybe they've overspent on players that were borderline players at other clubs. I don't think they've overspent on Horn Francis. I think you had to get him.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. I think last year, with where they were sitting, you understand the pieces they were trying to get to plug up the defence, because I think we saw against Brisbane here at the Gabba one day, they were just undermanned. I think Trent McKenzie was the key defender against the big 6'7" forwards. Mm. I think they've identified the pieces they had to put into that team, and I think you have every obligation to the fans to roll the dice. Let's go from contender to win it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've picked the wrong pieces, though.
And that's always the gamble you do in these sorts of situations.
Well, you're trading away your future as well.
Correct.
Yeah. When the top draft picks
and
go.
Port's and not the first club to do it, nor will they be the last. No.
And not only that, they look like they're going to change the whole point system now. So
yeah, like, that's right.
This is the thing that we could talk about that, but that needs to change once you can't on-trade the points that are in place at the moment.
I would say go all in, Port. I like the fact they put themselves out there. They're around to win premierships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a proud club. It's different. They're in the AFL.
Yeah.
And there might be a coaching change, but yeah, go all in. Back yourself. Put your head up so it might get smacked at times.
On that as well, with the Josh Carr, if he is the right candidate, sign him. But if there's someone better out there, they have to get the best available.
Do you have to have an obligation? You have an obligation, don't you, to look?
You have to look. You have
Josh,
to look.
we've got this hand over, but we've got to look.
Well, I'm not sure it's there. Everyone insinuates that it's there from the outside looking in.
But maybe he's the best.
Because he pulled out of, I'm sure it was a Richmond job, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was,
He was down to a couple in that, and he pulled out, and it was like, well, he sort of got that agreement.
Yep.
He might not even have it. We may be going down the wrong garden path, but I think you have to look for the best available.
It's a horrible time when a footy club is like that. Like, and you never would have been, like, I think this is the difference where, say, coaching in Adelaide would be compared to coaching in Brisbane. So when you're playing at Brisbane, the Lions have a bad loss, but you could walk down your street and not be bothered and not have that sort of pressure.
Yeah, to a degree.
It got
worse. But the thing, normally numbers get coaches is what I would say. Yeah. Numbers aren't necessarily going to get Ken. It's more the back end of the year. The final numbers probably are the ones that, well, that number's still getting, but it's the finals numbers, not the actual win record, win loss.
Mm. And I just think, look, from a fan perspective, they probably whipped into a frenzy on Saturday as well. Like, this is our premiership team. Yeah. This is Port Adelaide. We're wearing the classic 2004 jumper. This is a great day for our club. Now we get booed, and we've had the same coach for it. And then naturally the ranting goes, why are we playing like this? What's Ken doing? What's this?
We've got nine games to go.
They're still in the eight. And Ken still has a job. So,
Sanders this week.
What I hope that this segment turns out to be is the point. I mean, we got Geelong to win that premiership.
So now you think Port will win it?
I think Port can go all the way. This is gonna Ken's gonna play this. He built the foundations.
Yeah,
Ken's gonna
play
this segment in the bloody.
And the other player that we haven't mentioned is Charlie Dixon.
Yeah.
Mm. He's obviously been struggling for a few years, but with injury. But when he's out there, he's been good until this year, really. He just hasn't been able to get any continuity on the field.
And the more, like, you look back at some of the Port games, a week is a long time in football. A couple of weeks ago, they had that great win against Geelong. They had that fluke win against Hawthorn. Like, there hasn't been a dull moment at Port Adelaide this
year. No, not at all.
And their draw's not the most hard draw going home. Like, there's a couple of tough games. You've got St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, which you don't know what you're going to get. Gold Coast, Richmond, Carlton, Sydney. That's a little tough stretch. Melbourne and the Crows. So, like, the showdown's going to be interesting.
Showdown for the final spot.
That is going to be a fun showdown, that one.
Man, what happens to the losing coach that day?
Yes.
Well, tough times in Adelaide.
Well, for more entertainment in Adelaide, please tune in to 5AA. Lynchy.
What?
You got anything to take out from the weekend? We'll move on from Port. You got
take out of the weekend?
An unpopular take or...
I think this will be unpopular.
Yeah.
I thought watching live, Patrick Dangerfield couldn't have done anything more to stop Walsh hitting his head on the ground. I think for me, and I know the commentary, he's got a week suspension, going to appeal Tuesday.
We record this Monday afternoon, timestamp.
So he's pinned the two arms. He's all but fallen backwards to try to hold him up. There was only momentum of the tackle. He didn't drive him forward. He didn't fall forward on top of him. So I just feel that this will be dated pretty quick, but I feel he'll get off on appeal because he hasn't gone forward at all and he's sitting basically upright. So I just think he'll get off.
No chance.
No chance.
Well, if
that
he gets
prediction
off.
Could be as good as our multis at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's right.
We're one possession off a big.
I tell you.
No chance.
The AFL are never wrong.
Why? Because both arms are pinned.
Both arms are pinned. Head hits the ground. Mm. Like, I'm with you. There's tackles out there that I didn't think Harley Reid should have got done.
I thought that was a sling.
Minority. But Les is the same. What chance did Walsh have to defend himself when his both arms are pinned and his head hits the ground?
I just thought Patrick's done everything he could to hold him up.
Ooh, he's made a lot of tackles like that with a hip drop,
it's cost him before. And he
drops
priors.
His hips.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's in a bit of strife. Yeah. But again, the Patrick.
I just can't be bothered with the tribunal and the match review officer anymore.
Well, it's even the footy operations, they just make it up as they go.
Yeah, they're never wrong either. They're just.
All right, so this is not saying that this is not saying he should get off, but what more could he have done? Could he have done anything?
Well, you have
no,
to
it's not a hiding to nothing.
Don't you have to... And it's impossible.
In a half a second,
impossible. I'm saying it's impossible.
So we're looking at the vision and say, Patrick, in this situation, you should have done what?
Well,
not tackling.
Let one arm go. Is all he can do, which I'm saying is impossible. I'm not disagreeing with you that I think he should get off. I don't think he's any chance to get off, though, because of the way it's been done so far. And on that as well, the holding the ball rule is, again... completely different.
Are we more confused than we were 5 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because now they've started to stop paying. They've stopped paying holding the ball as hot as it was. And Stephen May ends up getting a fine for throwing his head in the ground. But he did a 360. Like, why wasn't the whistle blown earlier?
Correct.
Oh, it's confusing as all hell.
I reckon lottery numbers are more consistent than what the tribunal and the
This is not good for content. Was there a...
What do you mean this is not good for content?
No, I don't know about my next statement. What?
How good are the umpires going when they're trying to line them up behind the point post?
That was actually bloody funny. So that was the game I was at NG Stadium, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Jesse Hogan was told to go behind the point post.
Behind the post.
Hang on. Oh. It was fast. He ended up, I reckon the umpire softened because as Jesse's come out saying, I can't go behind the post. He's just conceded, all right, we'll let this go.
You know what, at the end of this season, let's just have a rule amnesty. Let's just delete all the rules and we just start the rules of Australian football again. And just have something nice. We just got so many bloody rules. Let's just have a rule amnesty and just start from scratch.
Well, in that game, do you remember there was a tackle right in front of me on centre wing where a Giants player was slung back and hit the back of his head on the ground? So was there any reports out of that game?
Bug it if I know.
But the ground was really soft.
Yeah.
And when his head hit, he just bounced up and there was no problems whatsoever. If that was a harder ground... he would have got rubbed out.
I wouldn't want to do that at Optus Stadium by the looks of that turf. Yeah, true.
You had a thought you were going to say?
Yeah, it was just that.
That's a thought.
Okay.
Have we got a tribunal?
I was looking for it. There would be something,
wrong
there?
Or right or... I give up. You just get so angry and frustrated by it each Monday. It's like, I just can't deal with it. Just let him be.
That you're right though. Jesse Hogan one was.
Yeah, that was
pretty.
That was
funny.
Bonkers.
That was pretty funny.
Absolutely bonkers. I think we're at that time of the year where just things are just getting a bit too crazy. It's a long and arduous season. And speaking of that, this is where I come in. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Chris Scott might be onto something. I reckon a mid-season bye should just be a week off for everyone. We've just gone through these bye rounds.
Oh, yeah.
The fixture is unbelievably, for a commercially compromised schedule that the AFL fixture is, was, and always will be, they have let the marketing of the fixture get in the way of any practicalities that can work this year. And we've seen two teams have byes before one team has a bye, yeah. Another team has a bye. You know what? Sometimes less is more. Maybe in the middle of June, there's a weekend where there's no footy. It's just a week off. You promote it as local footy. You let everyone just have a nice little holiday, a nice little breather. Stop worrying that any time they suggest no football, there'll be someone going, oh, but people might watch NRL. Yeah, maybe they will, but they're not going to be like, oh, I watched one game of rugby league. I'm not going to watch the AFL anymore. It's just let us have a breather. Because these bye rounds are silly. You get 6 games, you get 5 games, you get 8 games.
What about if they...
let's just have a breather.
Had the AFLW opening round.
That's not a bad idea. And what then have it concurrently?
And then just have it, yeah.
So then, and
fold
then,
into the AFL.
And then the
finals.
AFLW could be a full proper season too.
Well,
because they only play 10 games.
Yeah, well, there's 9 weeks to go in the season now. If you have it a couple of weeks before...
Look, there's plenty to work with, but maybe just a breather for the men's comp, the AFL men's competition, just for everyone.
Don't
everyone
mind.
Has
no,
a breather.
I agree. No, I
Let's
agree.
Just have a breather. Like, and I know broadcasters will, well, we pay money. I think
also
well,
the AFL broadcasters about, yeah, about
the
what
AFL,
content.
But the AFL can also be like, you kind of need us. Sometimes the AFL could go, you kind of need us more than we need you, because there's always going to be people that want to broadcast football. So I think they give in to the broadcasters a bit too much. Particularly, and we've seen that this year with the fixture.
There's heaps that you could do the carnival, under 18s.
Yeah, there's
like
heaps.
The
there's heaps
players.
Of heaps of different ways to.
Or your interleagues,
yeah,
your VFL versus.
Absolutely.
Waffle.
So there's heaps of ways to sort of integrate.
Oh, who's that?
Oh,
answer it.
No,
hang on.
No, I'm on air. I'm on air.
Oh, there's a case.
Anyway.
Oh, mate.
Old Andy.
Yeah, that's. Anyway, good on you, Andy. You should know I'm on air of all people.
He's a teal.
It's a teal. No, he works here at Entain. You're a teal. You're the teal. You've been talking Port Adelaide the whole time.
I'm not
anyway,
a teal.
Where were we? Yes, a week off.
A week off.
Let's have a week off.
That's not unpopular, I think.
I don't think that. It's unpopular with footy. It would have been unpopular with me. But then I was really like, you know what? This weekend, because my team wasn't playing, I actually enjoyed not stressing about when are we playing or that kind of thing. It's like, maybe it'd be good for everyone just
to... Do you still watch?
Yeah.
Or you stopped watching?
I've watched a bit of footy, but not as much.
You stopped watching your own team.
Yeah. I did. That was
from
one game.
From three-quarter
time. Oh, you'll never let that go, will you?
It's not me. It's your bloody...
It's your
players. That you.
It's you.
Yeah, it's all of it. It's your duffel coat. It's got the holes in it.
I've kissed and made up. It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. I didn't boo my coach at three-quarter time at the stadium. But anyway, didn't do that. But yes, a week off. Sometimes less is more. And we learnt that from the Big Bash. There's a good example. That's someone that went too much and then they scaled it back and it got better. Less
Big
is
bash.
More sometimes.
Yeah. Rightio.
Less is more.
What's
all
next?
Right. You know what we need more of?
What, good tips?
Tough losses.
We need to learn and earn and maybe get a good tip.
Rightio.
And that's where the snapshot comes in, and Ryan joins Rocky in the studio this week. Hello, Ryan. Nice to see you. Let's go with it right now.
All the betting trends you need to know from the world of footy. This is the snapshot.
Rocky, time to get into some betting, mate. It's been another tough week for us. We've had a bad beat. This is probably our second or third of the year. We'll talk about the multi shortly. But this is we've got a full deck this week. All the teams have had their bye for the season. So I'm pretty keen to get some report cards from you. Put your teacher hat on. I want to talk three teams that are sitting outside the eight that made the finals last year. We'll start with the Brisbane Lions, absolutely flying right now. 3 wins on the trot. Sounds like Will Ashcroft is returning to the side this week. Ford Lions firing on all cylinders, coming off. You know, they did have a grand final hangover at the start of the year, but they look really good now. What grade would you give Brisbane at this point in the season?
Oh, for the point of the season, they're probably a C. Mm. But I think there's much upside to them. They're a game and a half out of the top four. their percentage is second best in the competition. So if they can string a couple of wins together, the top four is still open for them. If they finish top four, they're going to be hard to stop. So Sydney clearly ranked one, but Brisbane probably around a C at the moment. Could easily be an A-plus by the end of the season.
Do you expect Ashcroft just to slot straight back in and get the touches that he did last year, or is he going to be a bit rusty coming off that kind of injury?
I think the way he plays and the professionalism that he's shown throughout his career, I think he'd step straight in. I'm not sure whether they... talking VFL action first or straight in?
I think he might be straight in. They're still deciding as we're recording this, but yeah, it sounds like he's very much on the cusp of returning.
Yeah. In the frame to come back in, but I'd imagine he'd slot straight in. Obviously, a little bit of touch and game pressure and game fitness, is you can't replicate it no matter how much training you do. So maybe not the instant impact, but if we get him in now, back after the year, sort of the last couple of weeks into hopefully a finals campaign for him, I think he'll be cherry ripe.
Big game for the Lions on Friday night against the D's. That's the next team that I want to speak about. I'm very curious to see what kind of grade you give Melbourne. Lucky to get away with the win last week without Christian Petrarca. They look like a much different side. The Roos kicked the final six goals in that game. I don't know how they lost that. That's another tough beat for North fans. And high-scoring games really haven't been a common theme for Melbourne this year. What would you give the D's right now?
They're probably similar. I'd say they're almost a C as well. Massive game this weekend, Friday night footy. Brisbane $1.18 or about $1.20. So as we record on Monday, I think they get rolled, and then their draw's not that easy on the way home. I think they probably miss finals with no Petrarca. Oliver's not the same player as we've seen in the past. Gorn's potentially come off a little bit. So their big three are just not the output that we've seen in the past. They've still got their issues in the forward half of the ground, back half. They're pretty solid down there, but again, their percentage, they're about even. Mm. They give up as many points as they score. So to be sitting ninth this time of year with the injuries and concerns they've got, I think they'll struggle to make it.
Did you have them sliding out of the eight or even the top four before the season started?
Probably around that 4, 5, 6 position, but I didn't have them missing finals. They will be a massive disappointment if they don't. They would probably go down as the team that's underachieved in this period. I know they've got a flag to their name, but they probably should have won 2 or 3 flags in
easily,
this period.
Yeah.
And if they miss finals now, their older guys are starting to come off. They've got those players on long-term contracts, they're going to have to shake it up a little bit.
Absolutely. Speaking of shaking it up, the last team we've got to talk about, and I think I know what you're going to grade them, is St Kilda. Outside of maybe the Crows, they've got to be the most disappointing team of season 2024. Have scored over 100 points only twice all year. Just not a lot to cheer about. They're not an exciting team to watch. Ross the Boss is probably out at some point. You're going to give them an F?
I think they have to get an F, don't they? Like, from finals to now sitting 14th, there's no upside to them, in my opinion. I can't believe they're starting favourites this week against Port Adelaide. Yeah. I know Port Adelaide have had their issues, but if Port don't win this game, big concerns. I think they just get hold of St Kilda. Their offence, we know the way that Ross coaches, and maybe they overachieved a little bit last year, but they're, as you said, one of the most disappointing things for the season 2024, I think, along with the Adelaide Crows. They're going to, I don't know where to for them. How do they rebound up the ladder? Their depth's not there. We keep hearing about this treasure chest that they've got. They're going to have to spend a lot of it.
Yep. When I was doing the notes for this, I was trying to work out who's their, you know, like their linchpin players. Is it Jack Steele, Wangani Malira, like King?
King, probably. King's probably the one that you have to hang your hat on, build your team around him. But Steele, like, he's the captain. He's sort of come off a little bit, I reckon, this year. He's not having the impact. I just, like, got players running around in the VFL that probably should be playing AFL footy. Brad Crouch, these guys need to find a way to get back into that team. They're a long way off for me, St Kilda.
Tough to be a St Kilda fan. My heart does go out to them. Let's preview Saturday night. Bombers versus Cats. Could be a game between two genuine pretenders. I look at the ladder and I go, geez, how is Essendon still sitting third? As I said, fascinating top eight game. Cats have had the wood over the Bombers, though. They've won 6 straight dating back to 2019. Geelong won this fixture by 12 goals when they met last July. And the big news, another sort of wait and see as we record this, is Tom Hawkins. We're not sure if he's going to be done for the year with that foot injury. And the Cats own just one win over an opponent currently inside the top eight. We saw the Cats really struggle in transition last week against the Blues, conceded 8 goals off turnover in their defensive 50. Do you think Essendon set up to punish them in a similar fashion?
Potentially. If Geelong play straight down the line, Essendon are so aggressive defensively. I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago when they took on the Gold Coast Suns. Their positioning is really super aggressive defensively. If they play down the line, Essendon will slingshot off that and cut them up. They're just not the same team that they were, Geelong. But if they can change angles coming out of their back half, they potentially open Essendon up the other way. So I'm with you. I think it's a bit of a game of two pretenders.
Yeah.
I don't think Essendon are a top three team. I think they'll slide. And I'm not sure Geelong make finals either. So there's going to be a lot of wrestling for positions. Your mob at Hawthorn sitting 13th, they're still an outside chance.
Oh, stop it.
But this is a fascinating watch. Both percentages very similar, 102.7, 102.9. A game and a half separates them. It's a massive game. If Geelong win it, they jump up the ladder. Essendon come right back to the field. And, it's a game of the pretenders. Yeah. I honestly couldn't lead you in either way. Tom Hawkins, obviously, if he's out for the season, could be career ending. And then Dangerfield, we sit here on a Monday afternoon. He's going to challenge. I don't see how he gets off.
Nah, it looks tough for him. Yeah,
pin both arms, play, opposition's head goes in the ground. If he gets off, it's a AFLPA president. Yeah. Little tick and flick there. But, they've got to shift the ball, take the game on a little bit, Geelong, get back to their running carry. But it's a game of nothing, really.
Fingers crossed for Tommy Hawkins, too. We hope it's not career-ending.
Ryan and Rocky are cooking up another multi. Surely it gets up this week.
Crossing fingers, we're going to need it for the multi because last week, geez, it was stiff. I went Carlton to win, got us off to a good start. Then I went the Swans 1-39, which I was pretty worried about because I checked the score at halftime and I thought they're going to win this by 70.
Yeah.
And then GWS sort of made it at least competitive, so that got up. I'll let you explain your legs.
Well, I have to recall them, but... I know that we had Merritt and Lukosius. Actually, Lukosius 2+, so he was the last one. He got that done, but Merritt, we had 30+, and he's finished on 29.
Yeah, it's not good.
So champion data, have a look at yourselves out there. Make sure that you have a look at the next bar.
Can you have a chat to him?
That is a tough beat. You probably don't get tougher than that, do you?
Nah, that is...
One possession.
That is, that is sliding the DMs worthy. No, don't do that. I don't encourage that. Let's look ahead to this week. We're going to go pretty similar. You love your player markets. Actually, no, you're going match
them.
Markets.
I'm
what am I saying?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going Brisbane to cover against Melbourne. We've already spoken about that. I think the Lions are a great bet at the Gabba on Friday night. And then on Saturday, another sort of coin toss game, Gold Coast and Collingwood. On the Gold Coast, I've gone the quarter by quarter market.
Ooh.
I've gone any other result. So that's any team to lead at the end of either four quarters. So it's $1.94 for that one. I think the Suns started really fast last week, then they faded. Collingwood always comes back in the fourth quarter. I think that could be really back and forth. What have you got?
It's a bit of a fancy one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exotic for me. Yeah.
We haven't done that in a long time, but yeah. I like that. I'm going head-to-head. I see some real value this week. I touched on it before, St Kilda versus Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide, for me, a great value.
Yeah.
Get just over $2 on Monday afternoon. I think they'll fire up. They need a good performance in St Kilda. I just don't know where they're at. They opened the field up a couple of weeks ago coming off the bye. I think they may struggle. And this one, I'm not sure about.
You've just said, Hawks are a chance to make the 8.
I'm not sure. And I've clipped you a couple of times for putting North Melbourne and West Coast in your multi. I'm going to tip into West Coast. I think they were good last week. Didn't quite get the job done against the Bombers. But they've got three big inclusions or potential inclusions. Harley Reid, probably the best first-year player we've seen. Dom Shee potentially comes back and Kelly on their home deck against Hawthorn coming off the ball. I think that's good value at 270.
This is such a big call. So, wow. Yeah, putting your reputation on the line here.
I think they get the job done. And maybe I've got too much faith. I don't want to go player markets because the last couple we've just, I think Elliot Yeo, we missed by 2 and then Merritt 1. So I'm going to let the players off and just go head to head. So Port Adelaide and West Coast, probably two teams that are not in great form. But
No, I don't hate it. Look, it's a tough road trip for Hawthorn coming off the bye straight to Perth. So I can, you build a solid argument. So to recap, I've gone Brisbane to cover against Melbourne Friday night. The quarter by quarter market, any other results in the Suns and Collingwood game. You've got Port to win outright against St Kilda and West Coast to win outright against the Hawks. $20.10 for that one.
Juicy. That'll cover us for the year.
Yeah, geez. We just need one more and we're in the green. We've done it. You can find that multi in the special section on the Neds app. Good betting chat as always, Rocky. Hopefully we don't have another stiff week.
Yeah, good luck.
It's time to take a walk down memory lane with the man who was everyone's one-time super coach captain. This is Rocky's Reminiscing.
You are listening to Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions. Dylan Leach and Alistair Lynch back with you in the studio. Another fantastic snapshot. That is a, Rocky, that is a juicy looking multi, by the way. That was it, 20?
20. 20 to 1.
You've backed West Coast to beat Hawthorn.
Yeah, I normally get into Ryan about doing stuff like that, but I think they're a good chance. And value, 270, I think, as we record Monday afternoon.
At this stage, Harley's back.
Well, Harley's back. Tim Kelly's back. Dom Sheed.
So they're going to Hawks
off the
bye.
Long fly.
Birth the Hawks bubble.
Finish their season.
Well, Hawks fly business class to Perth, maybe. This way. Did you say the line, the Eagles banner? It said, "We flew business class." Well, anyway, it was a good banner.
Must have been.
It was something about business class. It was funny when I saw it. You had to be there.
Yes.
Now, this week, we're doing a bit of Rocky's Reminiscing. Now, this week, last week, we'll go back to the game earlier, outside of the Ken Hinckley shenanigans. Port Adelaide, of course, wore their 2004 premiership jumper, or their, I guess, foundation AFL jumper, which is the sort of more teal number with the sort of, it kind of looks like the SBS logo on the Port Adelaide jumper when you look at it. I call it the SBS
old school
jumper. And this week, Geelong have got a
farmer's one, isn't it?
Well, they've got a really cool, I actually don't mind what the Cats are doing this week. So they're wearing the normal Geelong jumper, but each player is wearing the logo of their junior club.
Oh, good.
On the one of the white hoops. So their junior club logo will be on their jumper.
Because they had the collars on last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
The old style had the
They looked magnificent.
Collars. Yeah. What Geelong should do, should have your club logo.
Yeah.
The collar.
Yeah.
And the lace up.
Oh,
because
lace
I reckon.
Up. Did you ever wear a lace up?
No, I didn't. They'd finish just, I think, just
first
as I was coming.
His career.
They just finished
just as
I was coming
stopped
in.
Stopped wearing knickerbockers.
Because most of them were Richmond and Geelong. And I reckon Geelong was still wearing them when I was playing.
Richmond loved a lace up.
And they could just.
KB loved his lace ups.
They got outlawed because fingers were getting broke.
But you went from the woolen jumpers to the more silky. You were still playing in proper woolen jumpers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, woolen jumpers. And Fitzroy had some of the great jumpers.
Yeah.
In fact, we wore the 1960s Heritage Round jumper, the old Fitzroy one.
That was playing for Brisbane.
Yeah, MCG. I remember a Fitzroy supporter come up to me afterwards and saying, "Oh, you've worn that before." I said, "No, I actually haven't." He said, "Yes, you did. You wore that in Ballarat one time." I said, "No, I did. What, a practice match?" And they said, yeah, you were playing. I said, "No, I've never played in Ballarat. I played in Bendigo once. Maybe that's the mistake." And they said, no, you were playing, you and Kevin Murray were playing up there at the same time. You're on, hang on, pull up. He was serious. He said, "I was playing with Kevin Murray."
Yeah.
Not quite right.
Do you know why they're called jumpers and not Guernseys? Like, why do we always go with them as jumpers? You're an AFL...
There's jumpers, jersey, and Guernsey. It's really technical.
Because AFL's always jumpers.
Is it
I had
state
a discussion
based?
With someone on the weekend about it. They're like, "Why are they called jumpers?" And I'm like, "Good question. I can't answer."
I think it's a state.
Tassie, we grew up and it was always jumpers.
But you were wearing
in a certain era before it went to the certain material. You were wearing a proper woolen jumper, a footy jumper.
And we've just held it ever since.
Yeah, it's sort of just been part of the lingo.
Do some research before you go to the Olympics for me.
I will.
And now you're a bloody great writer with the footy record.
Yes. Good read that.
In Tassie, it was the program, the footy program.
Correct.
And what was the budget in South Australia?
Budget, South Australia and West Australia.
Have you done any more articles or is it one
I've got
now?
A couple more. No, I've got a few more coming up later in the year.
Oh, so you didn't back up the next week?
No, I'm just
got the coke and sars, did you? I thought it was a good read. Maybe the public didn't.
No, I thought
it was good.
I've got a few more. I've got a few more features coming up in the later part of the year.
I go for the online version only.
Yeah. No, it was good. Look, we'll give you a buzz later in the year.
No.
I thought it was good.
Thank you, Lynch. Yeah, I appreciate it. No, there'll be some. I've got a few more yarns coming up in the footy record. Speaking of yarns, which is what you need to make a jumper. Now, I bring this up, you bring this up because we reckon every club loves to do a retro round and wear a special heritage jumper, but there's a jumper that you wore that I don't think will ever see the light of day.
Well,
for good reason.
Being a Victorian, I used to love pulling on the old Fitzroy one, so when we got to wear that in Melbourne, the red and the old lion, but for some reason, a marketer somewhere at the Brisbane Lions in the early 2010, maybe 2011. Decided to put the Fevier Lynch. You remember Fevier?
Yeah, remember.
Any memories?
Remember to put the face on the lion, which
is now called the Paddle Pop Lion.
And can you imagine Michael Voss, Simon Black, Jonathan Brown all standing up trying to sell it to the new players at the club that we're going to put a face on it? I don't think that'll ever get worn again.
Do you recall what happened when they said, right, we're changing the jumper, here's what it is?
We got provided with some information, I reckon it was at Noosa on a training camp, pre-season camp.
Right.
And they stood up to, like, sell us on why they were putting a face on it. My understanding was for marketing, to make it more appealing to kids, because the Brisbane Lions had a really old membership base, mm-hmm. and they wanted to somehow incorporate kids into it. I don't know how a face on a lion would make it more friendly.
So they thought they'd go Paddle Pop Lion style. Mm.
Lynch, well, you probably would know as well.
Yeah, that was well after me, but I just thought it was a merchandise money grab, just so go something quite different, and so all the kids would want to get the current jumper, and so you had to change.
Because if you zoom in, they've still got the original line on the back of the jumper.
That wasn't meant to be there. I can actually tell you what happened there, because what happened was...
See, this might be another article for the record.
It could be another article, because what happened was I was involved with Fitzroy in the VAFA at the time, and it was actually a breach of the merger agreement between the Fitzroy Football Club and the Brisbane Bears, that they had to have the Fitzroy Lion. And as part of the sort of brokerage of the deal, the Lions had to create a alternative logo with the Fitzroy Lion with that BBFFC. So that was sort of the compromise as to what happened with the Paddle Pop Lion. But really, it was a terrible jumper. I mean,
horrible.
You look at that.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's just, it's not even like, you know how sometimes there's a sort of nostalgic feel for terrible jumpers? So, like, if the Lions, I think, did you ever wear the Brisbane Bears BB? Was that ever a heritage one?
Yeah,
so
the
OG,
love that one too.
Yeah, the OG Brisbane Bears one's a bit like, it was daggy, but it was, there's a bit of nostalgia and fun to it. Like, there's not disdain for it. The Brisbane Bears jumper Lynchy wore was actually a cracking footy jumper.
Yeah, that was with the V.
The V,
yeah.
Like, that looked like a proper football jumper. But this one, like, you don't even see Lions. I go to the Gabba, I don't even see Lions fans want to wear this. And if the Lions said, we're bringing back the Paddle Pop Lion, I don't think there would be any
funnily
nostalgia
enough,
for it.
In 2010, we four games in, flag favourites.
Yep.
We were 4-0, I think we knocked
four
off.
4-0.
We were. Fev and Brownie.
Yeah, the Fev Brownie revolution.
And then I think we lost our next 10. But
and also, like, looking at that jumper, that is a big stretched out lion. Now, I speak for the more tubbier blokes. If you want to wear that, like, that jumper does not lie about your shape.
But it's just
that stretched out.
I don't think they'll ever wear it again.
No, I don't think
think for a heritage round they'll bring that one out?
I
reckon that just brings up too. Like, even if there was, like, I know what the best win in that was that your NAB Cup Premiership jumper?
No,
or maybe it was something different.
I think we were back to normal by 2013, weren't we? It only lasted.
There was a few years. A
couple of years, I reckon. Or maybe 3 years.
3 or 4 years, but.
Model won my first best and fairest in it. There you go.
Well, then, okay. Maybe. Well, for the Tom Rockliffe test.
So that's on your wall?
Anniversary.
Framed on your wall?
Well, no, clearly.
I don't think so. No. Oh, I'm not sure.
But no, terrible football jumper.
Shocking jumper. They'll never wear that again. But there is some great jumpers out there. Clubs do it really well most of the time, but. When whoever thought to do that, they should be very, very embarrassed about themselves.
Well, there's a reason why it hasn't seen the light of day since. And there's no like,
throw it in the bin now.
Chuck it out. Chuck out that plain jumper of yours.
Gone.
Leachy, what was your favourite jumper to wear? You wore the map? You wore the Fitzroy jumper? The Bears jumper?
The classic Fitzroy one.
The red one?
I reckon.
That was your favourite?
Yeah, the red one. The 80s Fitzroy.
The red one was so good in Melbourne.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Yeah?
And the tight button-up shorts. They were very uncomfortable.
Because you went from tight shorts to baggy shorts, from woolen jumpers to more silky jumpers.
Our first shorts, were frightfully tight.
Yes.
Were button-ups, and you had buttons on the sides. They were buttons. Yeah. And buttons on side as well. It was just extraordinary. And when I got to Brisbane, you got the baggier lace tightening shorts. That was the go. But yes, the Fitzroy jumper of the 80s was a ripper.
I remember you bringing that in last year. They smelled that.
And
did you wash that in the end?
I washed it. Should have seen the water. Because that hadn't been washed.
What, for 30 years?
Oh, no, well over that. I think it was 40 years. It was 40 years. It hadn't been washed. It sat in my cupboard. So post-game, post-season, chucked in the wardrobe, hadn't moved. Outside a couple of house moves. Mm-hmm. Had not ever been washed. And, yes, as we did discover last year, pungent, fair to say.
We had to get the studio fumigated afterwards.
Terrible. But authentic.
Nice. But yes, the general consensus is of all the jumpers that make a comeback and get re-released, you will not see that lion.
Won't see that one again.
But the current Brisbane jumper is one of the best, I actually reckon. That Fitzroy, the Fitzroy and the
Fitzroy flavour. And it's great they still wear the red when they're in Melbourne.
Yeah. And it means a lot to people like this bloke.
It does.
He won three flags.
I'll tell you what I'll try to find. Yeah. I'll see if I can find a pair of those shorts.
Oh, please do. Bring them in.
And put them on in here.
I wouldn't get them over my foot. They were brief.
Back to wrap up next.
You're listening to Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions.
Time to wrap up here on Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions, heading into round 16. Ned's Unpopular Opinions in fashion. We do some good fashion talk on this show, by the way. Lynchy is going to bring in his shorts next week.
I'll see if I can find them, yeah.
You're going to wear them too. Or maybe I can wear them. I mean, I've shrunk a bit. Maybe that was...
You haven't shrunk that much.
maybe Tom could wear them.
Maybe the way you're going.
Where he's going with the... How are the push-ups going, Tom?
Push-ups are good. A couple of days to go. 5 days to
go. How many push-ups are we up to as of Monday afternoon when we record this?
Monday afternoon, we're up to... Good question.
We'll go around the grounds. We'll go around the grounds later and get a push-up up. What are we looking forward to in round 16 of the AFL? Mind you, we now have a full slate of games. Back to 9 matches. A proper weekend of footy, but no Thursday football. So Saturday's going to be insane.
You can't go past Brisbane-Melbourne Friday night. Ooh. 9-10.
Brisbane flying. In.
Well, you know what? We've had such a great round almost every week.
Mm. Even when we could just do with a week off, we have had great rounds.
Great crowds. It's all flying.
Yep.
But I think that. All right, the other one. I'm probably still in Rockies. The Gold Coast will probably
Queensland.
Yeah,
two Queensland
probably
games are good.
Both
two
down
games
there.
In Queensland and sold out as of today.
Is it
officially a sellout?
So it's Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon. It's a Saturday. It's a Monday afternoon. They've announced a sellout, but Saturday Twilight School Holidays, big Victorian club, two teams in a similar spot in the ladder.
Huge test for the Gold Coast, although they've won every home game and lost every away game. This is pivotal. If they harbour any ambitions of playing finals this year, currently sitting in 12th position, and only one game out of the eight as it stands, but they've got to win this.
Absolutely.
Because you can't bank on anything away at the moment.
Two games out of the top four, so it's a massive game.
Yeah, huge game.
And the atmosphere will be pumping. And I think there'd be more Collingwood fans. There'll be more Collingwood fans, but I think the Suns fans can really make a
It'll
bit
be
of
98%.
No, I don't think it'll be that bad.
100% it will be.
97%.
Three quarters Collingwood and a good quarter of Suns fans to really...
Absolutely not.
The away travellers to the Gold Coast are often huge. Pat on the back because at times the crowds at NG Stadium, Greater Western Sydney, get mocked.
Mm.
Full house. They're in the driving rain, great atmosphere, great crowd.
It's a bloody good ground, the GWS one. Yeah. Yeah, very good ground. What are you looking forward to, Tom?
I'll go to the Pretenders Cup on Saturday night.
The Chrissy Hynde Trophy, I believe they're calling it.
Geelong and Essendon. It'll be a coin toss either way. Essendon start favourites, but I don't think...
Essendon are third on the ladder.
Essendon are not a top four team for me, I don't think. Like, they're still sitting there with 102% sitting third on the ladder. And Geelong, the wheels have come off.
Remember when I said, can Geelong be shit?
Well, they've still
won since.
Well, they've won one, barely. They beat Richmond. at Geelong.
But Essendon win this. They're still chalking up the wins where they can't miss.
I just still think they're pretending, but.
We'll find out either more about Essendon or Geelong. I think we find out more about Essendon in this game than Geelong.
If Geelong,
I think
beat
we know where Geelong's at.
If Geelong are on their knees, and if they beat Essendon, I think they'll come.
That's where the ladder is a little bit out of whack. Where you got Essendon 102 percentage points in third, and you got Brisbane 122 in tenth.
Yeah, it's all over the shop. It is all over the shop. And look, we'll just to round it out. I'll go St Kilda Port Adelaide. I'm looking forward to because I look forward to Port Adelaide.
That will be interesting.
It's the game they could have played in China. This game. This game could have been.
I wouldn't mind going to China.
Lynch,
you could go there and play golf.
I've just sort of been wondering, how are the Shanghai supporters in China feeling about Port Adelaide now?
The relationship's starting to regain, isn't it?
Oh, good.
China and Australia, so they're probably up and about.
Yeah.
Well, they're flat.
Are they ringing up Shanghai SEN talking about Ken Hinckley?
I wouldn't have thought. I don't think there was any Chinese people there, to be fair.
No, that was because the last game and I was there for
the bus
that.
Went to the wrong...
all the buses went to the wrong joint. So that's the only reason there was no big crowd.
Of course, that's what they say. Okay, time to wrap up. Before we go, I'm going to do the multi. Get you to it, Tom. This is what we've got this week, or this is what Ryan and Rocky have this week. They have Brisbane to cover the line, 29.5 against the D's on Friday night, I think.
Tick.
I reckon count that in because the Lions are absolutely flying right now. Yep. Any other result in the quarter-by-quarter leader in the Gold Coast Suns Collingwood game at $1.24? That's not bad value, actually.
Well, Ryan, he thinks Gold Coast will start really strong. Collingwood will come back. So I assume
those two are Ryan's legs.
Yep.
And your legs are both on the Sunday games.
So bring it home.
The Sunday 5:04 games. There you go, Lingy.
So you might be flat, though, if Ryan's sent you out.
Okay.
Friday night.
On Sunday, we're looking at the game that should have been in China, St Kilda and Port Adelaide. You've got Port to win. Port on the rebound. All the pressure on Ken. We've seen this movie before.
$2+. Incredible.
$2.02 as of Monday afternoon. And your roughie... And I don't mean Jared. West Coast Eagles at $2.70 head-to-head against Hawthorn at Optus Stadium on Sunday twilight. Harley Reid's back. They play all right at Optus Stadium.
I think they're a chance. And Kelly and Sheed as well. So three big ins, and I think they might just...
Burst the Hawthorn bubble.
Yep.
Burst the bubble.
Different team over there, they are, West Coast.
And that pays at $20.10.
That'll pay for the Chinese at the end of the year.
Oh, get us a nice succulent Chinese meal, as it were. And on that note, thank you, Lynchy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Good on you, Dill. Lynchy.
Catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcasts? Remember to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.